You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. Now, Lacrosse is at it again with a new line of lace-up hunting boots, the Navigator Series. And in that Navigator Series, there are two models. There's the Atlas for men and the Windrose for both men and women. To find out more information about this new Navigator Series, visit lacrossefootwear.com.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome back, guys. Another hunting podcast right here with Land and Legacy. And we just knocked out our habitat podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of tidbits over there.
I think a lot of great stuff from region specific areas that will turn some light bulbs on for some folks who are kind of questioning, what do I want to promote? What do I want this area when I'm said and done to look like? Because come November, I want to be able to be hunting it the way I should be hunting it, and not just be, you know, me promoting it, doing it wrong. What do I want to see come back? That's what we cover.
Yeah.
Here's the time when it gets all good on hunting strategy of
this.
How
this
to
is
hunt
the time of the year when I hear my phone ding with a email, with a cuttyback email. It's like I can't open it fast enough.
Yeah.
And so while we were recording last podcast, we had another one come through, and Donuts was on it.
Yep.
So a little bit of an update, or not a lot, not a little bit of an update, a big update on where we're at in the season, where we're at in our hunt for Donuts, and kind of this is just your overall update on where the season's at for us. Over the course of the last week, we've changed a good bit. As far as our deer activity, the whole month of October really didn't see much pre-rut activity. A little bit out of young bucks, but we did not see any mature deer really up and cruising or any new bucks popping up on camera. We always see that when we start seeing new bucks pop on camera, we start seeing daylight activity.
We know the legs are getting stretched and deer are starting to cover some ground.
That's right. And Donuts, up until November 1st, we didn't have him working a scrape, I don't think. Maybe it was the very end of October.
Not working a scrape all season, but just, you know, in a little bit of time.
Nope, it was November 1 when he showed up at the North Bottom, when he's a stud. So we're talking about a deer that might be a booner. We don't know. He's a stud either way, and that's Donuts. And he had been very much a very casual walker, showing up here and there, kind of just dilly-dallying, I would say.
Honestly, doing exactly what you would expect a 5.5-year-old mature deer to do.
They're not ready yet. I know when they'll be ready.
I'm not wasting my time. I'm not chasing. I'm not going to nudge. I'm just going to feed, and I'm going to be nocturnal and
save my energy.
Yep.
And we've had the three-year-olds. It's always funny every single year. It's like yearling bucks cruising or chasing and pushing does out of food plots and running them around.
We saw that, the 20th of October?
Yeah.
On a set.
And then you go in and you start seeing two-year-olds. And October 20th, we started seeing some really nice two- and three-year-olds showing up on one of our best food sources right next to the gravel road, standing beans. Perennial revival blend from Stratton on one food plot across a little ditch, standing beans. And it's like it seems like every deer in that region is going down into those bottoms to eat. And it's like, here's the big doe groups, the big family groups, and then all of a sudden 2.5-year-olds. And then a couple nice 3.5-year-old 8-pointers show up. And it's like, now they're all down there, and you notice one thing. They're eating beans, they're eating clover, they're eating chicory. And occasionally you see the young buck kind of dog one and run her around.
Correction. They're pounding the soybeans and alfalfa.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. you know, last year I would say we were seeing quite a bit of activity from those 2 and 3 year olds, even some more mature deer a little bit earlier. You know, when I say earlier, I say 4 or 5 days, and I'm not sitting here saying, you know, oh, it's the moon, it's the weather, it's this. It's just, that's just what we started to see. But we have some, let's say this year in comparison, I think, to last year, food sources have changed a little bit in their location. But the density of deer tends to be in kind of concentrating two little pockets across the farm. There's deer all over it, but we're talking just the kind of pockets heavier doe activity based right around some great food sources. We switched up some cameras and some hunting observations, kind of went in and said, let's get some eyeballs on it. And by golly, that's when we started to see and get in there of, okay, this activity is occurring. It's just very small, the very early cusp of intense pre-rut activity.
Yeah.
You can see pre-rut activity if you look hard enough, October 20th, 22nd, 23rd, whatever, every single year. But when we're talking like, okay, now's the time to take advantage of deer throwing a little bit of caution to the wind and being on their feet, we're just getting to that point of seeing that from our trail cameras of, okay, yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Was it tonight? The 10 pointer?
Yeah.
He's still a 3 year
chasing.
Old. But man, I mean, he was legit chasing. It wasn't like, yeah, I'm just going to go bump and check. It was, you see the doe run through, kind of mouth open, hunched down just a little bit. Next picture, boom, here's.
Wasn't even a minute later.
Yeah.
It was both at 5 o'clock.
Here's the 10 right on her tail, and they make a loop back up through the food plot, and same exact kind of picture sequence. It's like, it's almost like a, when you, I guess I grew up fox hunting with my granddad. And there's difference between a dog or a hound on the trail, the scent trail of a fox, versus a sight race.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell the intensity from the bark and you know, how fast that group of dogs was moving. This was a sight race in comparison. That buck was on her, right behind her, dogging, head down, ears back, just going. And that's the kind of stuff when you start really seeing couple of occurrences a day on camera, whoo, it's on.
Yeah,
that's when it's on.
I just looked at the weather while you were chatting, and just to, because after this hunt I will edit these podcasts, Matt will do the write-ups, and then I've been talking about going in the
after
morning
after the podcast,
or after we record the podcast. Yeah. I'll go and edit the podcast, so if you ever hear any mess ups in the editing or the podcast recording, you know it came from me.
If there's any misspellings or something in the right,
came from Matt.
Yeah, you can put the blame to the right person.
Yeah,
though.
That's right. So when you leave those negative comments, yeah, you know whose name to put in it.
Yeah.
And I saw that tomorrow morning the wind is southwest, which is,
it's changed a little bit.
Yeah, not good. So yeah, I probably won't go in the morning. I'll try to get down there in the afternoon, but you know, this time of year, there's a reason why it's kind of a two-part habitat and hunting, because now that you see the intensity of those chases, the bucks, now we're getting a little bit older bucks starting to chase. Because of that, now we're a couple of weeks into the whole chase. Started with the young bucks, then we went to a little bit older bucks, but not mature.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to mature deer. Does are sick of it. You're going to start seeing the bottom field that has all these does piling into it.
Ain't going to be like that.
Ain't going to be like that. It could have happened last night when I hunted there and saw one little forky horn, and it was like, there, you guys just killed a deer here last week.
Yep.
Why all of a sudden there was 8 deer? Now there's no does. Why are we not seeing that change? And Matt just held up. It looked like 26 was the
21.
Oh my goodness! So
we're not distracted at all, looking at weather and making game plans for this week. But Lord have mercy,
that's going to be cold. I'm going to break out the sanctuary. No, I forget the.
I think that's what it is.
No, that's the warmer one or the thicker one. We're wearing the. I don't remember what it is.
I don't know, but it's warm.
It is very warm. Yeah.
It snowed on Halloween morning when Chad and I were in the stand, and I was roasting.
Were you wearing the coat?
Oh yeah, it was time.
I didn't even wear the coat yesterday. You know how 22. Cold I get.
It was.
I get so cold. It was 22.
22 with a 15, 16 mile an hour wind that morning, and it was like,
wow.
I'm roasty. I'm warm.
Yeah.
This is the. I don't even know what the name of it is, but
we're trying
out the
First Light.
Yeah, the First Light wool based system, and I have been pleasantly surprised. We're distracted.
Yeah, we are. Solitude.
Okay, solitude. There.
Yeah, we're so you know how cold I get. Yesterday morning, it was chilly, heavy frost. That bottom was covered in frost.
You should have seen the other.
I didn't even wear. The coat, I carried it in there, and I was wearing the wool t-shirt, the thick furnace, heavy base layer, and then I was wearing the
Catalyst jacket?
Klamath hoodie. I was just wearing the hoodie,
really?
And I didn't, that was it. I told Jenna, I'm toasty. I had the bibs on, but I'm like, I can guarantee last year, I was digging.
Well, I did the same thing. I pretty much wore like the exact same thing yesterday morning. I didn't bring the other jacket. I just
didn't wear the coat.
Jacket.
Okay.
I didn't wear.
You had a jacket on, not a hoodie.
No, I had the hoodie.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying I brought a different jacket with me. I didn't wear the jacket I had brought. Just had the bibs and that.
Yeah.
And I was
super
on
toasty.
Ridge top. It wasn't windy, but
Chad had me
totally
put the coat
fine.
On. When we got back to the truck, and this is a little bit of First Light update. I'm only saying this because so many guys have been asking us our thoughts on them because apparently everybody's wondering the same question that we were. Is it really worth it? And so we were wearing – Chad told me to put the coat on and do that little unzip thing to where you can go straight into the
– yeah.
I'm like, I no longer need a muff. Like, I used to carry that little quarterback muff.
I do. I brought mine that morning, so Halloween morning. That was the first time I had on the jacket and the bib.
Yeah.
And I did have a hand warmer, but that's the cool thing is you put your hands through the jacket and not the pockets of the jacket. And then you put your hands in like the fleece-ish wool-lined, not fleece, the wool-lined.
Your kangaroo pouch, basically.
Yeah, the kangaroo pouch. And I had a hand warmer in there. I found myself later on in the morning not even needing to put my hands in like the sleeve portion of the bib, but just put my hands on like my side, like a side of my body, not like inside the jacket, but not in where the hand warmer was, because it was so roasty warm. Like I just put it there, and that, you know, we're wearing like fingerless gloves, so it's like just not bare hands, but just so comfortable. And I usually with like even just the hand muff, it's two hand warmers and just no gloves and put them in there. But as soon as you take them out, cold morning. Cold wind, it doesn't take long.
Yeah,
but that was super nice because you didn't have to carry something else in. It's just like built in, you know, just ready to rock and roll. So that was a cool little find. I'm glad he said that because I would have been messing around with the hand muff. But
got
like,
your muff on,
yeah. But which I've used for years, and it's a key component. But when you don't have to carry it in, and you have something already kind of, let's say, built in, like the kangaroo pouch. It works.
Whatever they call it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know it works.
Yeah, it does work.
And that was the first morning. It was like full on, like really good layering system. You know, we had done.
You know, we tested it in the heat, and now we're getting into what we truly wanted to test it for.
Correct.
Can we stay warm?
And that was the first like attempt. And a pretty chilly day, because I was talking to Chad too. It's like, you know, like December time frame, there's not many days when we're hunting when it's really just kind of this brutal.
Yeah,
it's not brutal, but like when it's just these temperatures to this degree.
We don't hunt many times when it's single digits.
No,
because we just don't get them a whole lot.
Yeah, we just don't have the opportunity to.
When we do, it's brutal. But I can.
But we're out there.
I can sit there and I think. There's a whole lot of other gear layers that I haven't even put on yet to keep myself warm.
And like even yesterday, I tried that really thick. What's the thick
furnace?
Okay, the furnace.
The pants?
No, the tan top.
Yeah, furnace.
Okay, the furnace, and then I put
It's the furnace Henley.
Yes, that thing. And that's thicker, and it doesn't hold, like, it's not snug to your body, but it's a thick wool layer. I put that on, and then I had the hoodie.
Yeah.
Whatever that one's called. But that's like
Klamath, I think.
That one's like a little bit more of a compression-like fit. Yeah. Like it's tighter.
Tighter around your wrists, I noticed it. And all of them have the thumb hold.
Which I like.
So I just put that on there so when I push my put another layer on, I don't have it halfway at my wrist.
That man thought of that.
I'd like to shake his hand, whoever's like, we need to put thumb holes on all these base layers.
I am tired of getting bunched up on my forearms.
Yeah.
Putting on layers. But I put that kind of compression over top of the thicker thermal. And then like it was, I almost had like a, air pocket, if you will, because it was tight around the layer, but not tight against my body.
I hate it when you get air pockets while you're hunting. Especially when you're wearing bibs.
Waiters are worse. But it was like, it was warm, though. It was like a warm air pocket, but it wasn't like bulky at the same time, but it was like still snug. It's kind of weird. I'm explaining it. I'm doing a horrible job. I'm like, that doesn't really make much sense.
We
but
don't
I
even
just,
know the names of them for the most part.
And people we're are like, okay, guys, I get it.
We were told.
You were warm.
No, if you're worried about getting cold, don't wear cotton. Well, you wear wool. So we're like, well, what's the best wool?
Yeah.
And we started testing First Light, and we've been really, really happy with it so far. So it's cold. We're getting a lot more cooler temperatures. And I sound like such a pansy saying it's cold when the guys in the north are going, whatever, Rudolph, I saw your nose.
He was probably dripping with snot.
Snot and beet red. That's when I know it's cold.
Yeah.
when I have to use an umbrella above my stand to keep the snot.
Oh, bull crap. No, because I wipe on the back of my glove every 5 minutes.
I'm never wearing those, but it's a lot colder temperatures. Deer are really starting to move. We can really, like, there's so many observations we can make just by watching the emails. It's like, if we want to know movement was good, just check the emails. Are we going to have 5 emails one night, or are we going to have just 2? If we have just 2, we know, okay, they didn't move real well last night.
So when's that next
when's the
hours?
Next movement? Yeah, is it going to be mid-morning or is it going to be this afternoon? Because I can guarantee you I could tell you deer movement just by not even opening the emails and looking at the pictures, but if I just saw the number of emails that came through
overnight,
I would say we better hunt this afternoon.
Yep.
And especially if they didn't move that afternoon, our email that came through at night and is like, oh, they didn't move good this afternoon. And then we don't get many emails during the night.
Run to the stand.
Like, we got to get to the stand because I know they're going to move good this afternoon. And it sounds so simple, but I would.
You don't know that.
Take it
thing,
to the bank.
But you don't know that's a thing until you are able to get those type of updates. If you check it every week, you don't pick up on that, right?
No.
You don't see like that type of like intensity of movement. Okay, that was after hours, or that was like mid morning, or that was they moved early that afternoon. You just don't pick up on it until you get those frequent updates. So that's been good and eye opening. But here's the thing: I think I want to stress to this time of the year. Okay, yeah, we talked about the value of cover and hunting cover and the bottlenecks between the cover. Please sit like through the mid-morning. Like the mid-morning, it has seemed like on cameras and hunting observations from past years, that is when your honestly chances of success go up. I think a lot of things from that reason are happening. Okay, hard frosts, deer aren't foraging in food plots,
no.
First thing,
especially
first
the first hard frost of the fall.
Yeah.
Like we're in. We've only had, I don't know, maybe 5.
Yeah.
And it's like those first hard frosts are such a shock to the system, not only ours, but I think to the deer as well, because it's like it's heavy frost. They lost those last few hours of feeding in the dark. And because so, because the frost was so heavy or set in. So now they're feeding. They may be browsing on woody browse up in the timber or something, but they're going to hit those food plots or hit those areas.
Feed on acorns.
Or they're going to bed down for a little bit, and then they're waiting for that frost to melt off, and then they're going to hit the finish up feeding before they go back to bed.
Yes.
And it's such a...
When does are on their feet feeding, that's when they're getting nudged. They're going to get nudged and checked when they're bedded, but they're going to get pursued and be traveling through those travel corridors, the pinch points, and all those things when the deer, more of the deer herd, is on their feet. And so don't forget about late morning, mid-morning activity. We're talking 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. That window right there is super important. You have a lot more, I think, stable wind as well. We talk about like swirly winds, that's good for deer, but I think it's honestly, it's good for deer to a certain degree. If it's too swirly or too shifty and changey, you know, look at a day like today. We had, I looked out this morning, we had a light frost this morning. So it was cool. Thermals were dropping, first light, half hour, 40 minutes after light, sun peaks up. Then you start to get this like turbulent wind situation. If it's not a hard wind blowing, you know, let's say over 4 or 5 miles an hour, it's just consistent to override these things. But if there's so much change going on like that, it's hard for deer to really kind of figure up like, okay, what's that prevailing wind right now? And then once that air gets a little bit more stable and the wind after the sun rises really starts to pick up and get to moving, that's when you see a lot of that activity.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit of consistency. It's a little bit of security that they're moving during these time frames. And so, again, it takes them a while to get whether up from their bed, if it's a hard, hard frost, to feed and go back, or it's just they're taking their sweet time getting back to a bed.
All right. That's why, if possible, the dream one day is to have a home very close to a farm that I hunt, because it's like, I'm going to set till 11 or noon, and then I might set all day.
No,
but if I don't set, but if I won't set all day, I will. My phone battery lasts all day now.
Oh, yeah.
right.
Now with all these emails.
I'm not even going to say it, but I want to. It's like, you know, there's so much as a business owner now, and all the work and non-stop in the grind, it's like I could see myself sitting all day now, because it's like this feels good just to not have to worry
do you
about
hear that?
Anything.
No, I don't. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
I'm going to sit all day, but it would be great to sit till noon and then turn around and jump into a stand. I just don't like riding the hole with when it comes to whitetail hunting. I don't like hunting the same stand over and over and over and over. That's why I love that redneck down in the bottom where I miss donuts, but the thought of going back to it right now, I'm like, ugh. That's why I went to the ghillie blind last night. I was like, I don't want to sit in that freaking blind again. I love where it's at. I just don't. I've already looked at that spot.
I've already thought about all the stuff that needs to happen here.
That's why I love this. Yeah, I've already seen that stinking invasive over there. Yeah. That's Teresa that didn't get sprayed. That's why I love the saddles. Because every time you go, it's usually a different spot, different stand. And, boy, we've gotten...
We've gotten our usage out of them so far.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yes.
I mean, I honestly, going back to a stand right now, it's like, oh, dang, I don't get to use it.
Yeah.
Because it
feels good on my back.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But I just like just that different element and the ability to move around a tree. We had, I don't know what it is. It's just like the different types of movement. Like if you want to move in a stand, you have to pretty much stand all the way up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of movement. But
I've noticed the creak, too, of a stand just irritates us, stuffing that of me now with using the saddles, and it's pretty much movement without sound.
Literally just, like, shift my hips one way, and I'm peeking out the side of a tree. Like, I just can glide, if you will. It's like, it's not like this just, like, jerky movement stand all up. It's like, see what I need to see.
Most of our stands are secondhand junkers, it seems like, that it's like, and I will not ever name the company, But they the stands that we have used are not secondhand junkers. They're firsthand junkers that make noise right out of the box.
Yeah.
And they're as hard as heck to hang. And that's what most of our stands are. And
saddle is a saving grace.
Now it's like, I'm going to stand on the freaking seat or stick and hunt in the saddle because I hate those stupid stands.
Well, the other day, this is a true story.
Yeah.
We did hunt the South Saddle stand twice here within probably about a week's time frame.
Yeah. Both of them are of that stand that we hate.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but the first morning had my harness.
Anybody want to buy stands?
Yeah. First morning had the harness. The second morning, somehow Chad got my harness in his truck. I was in mine.
Well, Chad's then, trying to say, I asked Chad, I said, how did you get that? And he goes, I don't know. I think he left it in the back of my truck.
Well, after we hunted, we had an encounter with mature deer. And we didn't get changed at the landing. Not mature deer, sorry, Billy, a good deer.
Oh, yeah, that night.
But my harness, I ended up hunting from the saddle that night.
Gotcha.
And then so we didn't get changed where the truck was parked. We just threw
everything
that was at the truck and went down the hill and changed.
Yeah.
It remained there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so we go back to the South Saddle the second time.
And you hunted out of a saddle.
I hunted out of the saddle, but stood in the tree stand because that's what I had. That was I didn't have my harness.
And, better.
Oh yeah, 100%. I was facing a different way, but I mean, I didn't care.
You're facing the correct way.
I was.
Yeah.
And it was a lot more comfortable. I will say that. So anyhow, I hope that everyone is thinking just like wisely. Yeah. You can get lucky this time of the year. You can be
hunting
in the woods.
Food sources that a lot of deer, like you can kill deer out of food sources, but a majority of the does are going to now be chasing thickets, trying to hide, or they may be just locked down. They may have already been pushed up into areas and locked down with bucks. We're hunting bottlenecks where deer are traveling a lot at the same time hunting close to thickets.
Think creatively. As sometimes you just need to get where you need to get. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be silly and make poor choices, but don't be afraid at the right time of the year, and this is the right time of the year, to be aggressive. It's okay to do that. Just think wisely about it. Think about the winds. If you were a deer, how would you be traveling? What would you be doing? Get out there and have fun. Be safe. Yep.